Yasodanandana, Jaya Brada Dhanaranjana, Jaya Brada Dhanaranjana. Yasodanandana, Jaya Brada Dhanaranjana, Jaya Brada Dhanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhadakasharya Asadhara Sadushi Sriman His Vangre Shlesi Bhaktivedanta Swairaj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premanande All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Vudaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Satarane Om Aganatvarandas Yaganjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitam Scha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So thank you for being here. I was asked to speak on the disciple succession, one verse in the Bhagavad Gita which exemplifies that idea is chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 34. I'll begin by reading that particular verse and the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. So this is the translation and the commentary. Just try to learn the truth. By approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. This is the explanation by Srila Prabhupada. The path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciple succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciple succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciple succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments can that help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Pasgatya De Satarane. Bhagavad Gita is divided into two different aspects of knowledge. The first knowledge is knowledge of the self, the soul's different from the body. And the second aspect of knowledge is the Supreme Self as simultaneously, or the soul, is simultaneously one but different from the Supreme Self. That the Supreme Self is quantitatively unlimited, while the little self, ourselves, we're very tiny, but qualitatively we're both equal, spiritual by nature. Just like one drop of water is quantitatively infinitesimal compared to the ocean, but qualitatively it's of the same nature. And how to realize the self and how to realize the super self, that takes an art. It takes an art or a science to do it. And that art and science is explained here. The same art and science that's utilized to realize anything. In other words, everyone has basically the same intention in mind, whatever they're doing. When we break down and analyze everyone's activities, basically, it's for three things. Everyone wants to learn how to become as happy as possible for as long as possible. So knowledge means how we become as happy as possible for as long as possible. And according to the science of the Vedic literature, that there are two different types of happiness, generally speaking. There is material happiness, and there's spiritual happiness. And of the different types of spiritual happiness, basically speaking, there's happiness of realizing oneself as a spiritual soul and the happiness of realizing the supreme spiritual soul. And in order to realize any happiness, either material or spiritual, we have to go to someone who has already realized that same happiness. That's called Parampara. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna said, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshyo vidu sakalene ha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. That in the very beginning, that Krishna had spoken this knowledge to the sun god Vivashvan. And then the sun god Vivashvan spoke it to Manu, and then Manu instructed it Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam, emam rajarshyo vidu, sakalene ha mahata, yogo nashta parantapa. In this way, the science is coming down through a line of teachers. Now, of course, if we tell everyone here that Krishna spoke to the sun god, some people here will think, well, that's a nice scientific or science fiction or mythological understanding of what the Bhagavad Gita is all about. Sun god, oh, of course, you know, the sun god and probably the moon god had lunch with the sun god afterwards, right? In other words, as soon as we hear something about sun god or Krishna speaking to the sun god, immediately we'll become very skeptical. But the nice thing about Bhagavad Gita is that whether Krishna spoke to the sun god or the sun god spoke to Manu or Manu spoke to Ikshvaku or that knowledge is being spoken right now, it makes really no difference. Or maybe it does make some difference. But the fact is, according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartmanani cha arjuna vavishamit bhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that's happened in the past, everything that's happening in the present, and everything that's going to happen in the future. In other words, if Krishna is really God, then whatever he's saying should be perfect. Now, because we're not perfect, we may not understand how perfect Bhagavad Gita is. But if we study Bhagavad Gita, carefully, we should be able to discriminate whether or not, or decide for ourselves whether or not the knowledge has some value for ourselves in terms of our endeavor to trying to become as happy as possible for as long as possible. In other words, if we read Bhagavad Gita and it makes no sense to us, the whole book, then we're just wasting our time. And if we read Bhagavad Gita and it makes some sense to us and it gives us some insight and how to become as happy as possible for as long as possible, then we'll develop some faith for the speaker of Bhagavad Gita that he must know something. And the nice thing about Bhagavad Gita is that we can keep on reading Bhagavad Gita and we'll find out that Krishna knows more and more. As we realize more and more by reading Bhagavad Gita, we become convinced that Krishna's knowledge is unlimited, that there's no end to reading Bhagavad Gita. For instance, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said that the body is changing. So that should not be very difficult for most of us to accept that our body is changing. Practically, most people in the material world nowadays, when they're younger, they're trying to look older. And when they're older, they're trying to look younger. More or less, everyone is acknowledging the fact that the body is going to change. And it's going to keep on changing. It's not that we've discovered that the body is changing. Now we'll give you the secret formula, how to stop the body from changing. No one can stop the body from changing. Just like yesterday or a couple of days ago in Harinam, someone told one devotee that God is a mythology, or is mythological. But if God is mythological, and that means that if there is no other God, that means that you must be God. In other words, if there is no controller in the material universe, then you must be the best controller. But only one problem is, if that any one of us were the controller around here, why can't we stop our body from changing? And if we can't stop our own body from changing, then how much control do any of us really have? Actually, we have very little control. Our body is more or less out of control. Out of our control, at least. And not only we can't stop our body from changing, we can't stop anything from changing. And what's changing everything, we know, is called time. And one thing we can see is that nothing can change time. It is not that you wake up one day and you read the newspaper and find out that the scientists have found and discovered time and they've killed it. And therefore, time is stopped and everything's going to remain the same forever. No, one thing that doesn't change is time. We may talk good about time. We may say bad things about time. But time is not at all affected by anything we do or anything we say or anything we think or any of our discovering. Time keeps on ticking along. So time is said to be a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. So there is a force, at least, which is superior to all of us and to anything material that we have experience of, because it's changing everything. At least we can recognize that if nothing else within our perception is supreme, at least time is supreme here in the material world. But time, according to Bhagavad Gita, is moving according to a definite plan called the law of karma. That under the influence of time, there are the three modes of material nature, and karma, the three modes of material nature, are constantly coming into being. And here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, first of all, that our body is changing. We can't change that. But we ourselves within the body, we're experiencing the changing of the body. We're trying to stop the changing. We're not changing. All of us, we walked into this particular room at some particular time, but it's not that now everyone is different who's in the room. We walked in, they called us Alan, and now after sitting here for 5 minutes, we've become Bob. Of course, some people may think like that, but still, or sometimes there may be many people in one body, but that's not very common. Most of us, if we walked in as John, we're still John. But our body's different because we don't have the same body. For instance, you may have walked in here, you felt good, and now after hearing this lecture, you have a headache. Or your stomach is telling you it's time to eat. So our body is certainly different than we walked in. But we ourselves are the same. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is giving us the most basic information, which explains to us that we're souls. And because we're spiritual souls, therefore we have a desire to be happy eternally. Not for 5 minutes, not for 5 days or 5 years. We want to be happy forever. And if we examine Bhagavad Gita, it'll explain to us the process by which we can come to a position where we can realize our spiritual identity, and our spiritual identity has no material problems. Our real problem is this body. Although we love our body, we take care of it very nicely, we hope other people love our body. But when we get down to it, the only problem we have is the body. The soul doesn't get a toothache. The soul doesn't grow old. The soul doesn't have to go to the hospital. But the body does. The soul doesn't have to wake up and go to sleep. This is all due to the body. But now that we're in the body, we have to learn how to utilize the body in such a way as to realize the soul. So this is called learning. So we have to learn from someone who knows already how to utilize the body in order to realize the soul. and the Supreme Soul. One who knows that perfectly is called a spiritual master. And one becomes a spiritual master not by joining a club, but by hearing from another self-realized spiritual master and then following the process so that one gradually realizes one's identity, spiritual identity. And the original spiritual master is Krishna. So, of course, here we are. We're presenting the Bhagavad Gita. We're presenting that Krishna is God. We're presenting that we're spiritual souls. We're presenting the process. But that doesn't mean that I personally, for instance, have realized everything. But the nice thing about it is that even if we haven't realized everything, even if we're not on the platform where we can claim to be the master of all spiritual knowledge, still, if we present knowledge from the master of all spiritual knowledge, we repeat the same thing that he said, then it has some benefit for ourselves just by hearing the sound vibration, trying to understand it through the process. And here the process is that one should not present oneself as Krishna, that one knows everything. One should simply try to present Krishna's words to the best of one's ability. And explain that the process consists of three aspects: submission, inquiry, and service. So submission means that we don't have to blindly accept that Krishna is God. We don't have to blindly accept that this knowledge is perfect. But if we utilize our intelligence and try to hear, first of all, just try to hear without blindly accepting or blindly rejecting. Simply try to become submissive so we can hear what's being said. Then if we don't understand what's being said, we can inquire with our intelligence. Krishna consciousness is called Buddhi Yoga. It's not a process of negating one's intelligence. It's a process of learning how to properly utilize our intelligence to realize the soul and the Supreme Soul. In Krishna consciousness, there's little information how to get rich. If you meet most of the devotees, you'll find out that they're not very rich. And after being in the Krishna consciousness movement, they didn't get any richer. Matter of fact, most of us got poorer. There's no process to learn how to have nice dress, get a nice car, even have a nice hairstyle. As you can see, most of us, when we joined the Hare Krishna movement and follow the process, our hair fell out. So all these things are such that if you expect to get some material benefit from approaching Krishna, it may, or this knowledge, it may be possible, but it's not the primary interest of those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. The primary interest of to become submissive in inquiry and following the process is to realize ourselves as a spiritual soul and to, above everything, to realize the Supreme Person, the Supreme Spiritual Soul, who may be called Krishna or Jehovah or Allah, or we call him Rama or Krishna, to realize and direct our relationship with that Supreme Soul. And here Srila Prabhupada says the process is not easy. It's not easy because, especially in this age, we've been trained up, or our present authorities who have trained us in a very different mood than is being explained here. In other words, in modern society, they factually don't believe in the soul for the most part. I think most of us going to school didn't get very much knowledge about the soul in school. As a matter of fact, if a teacher started to teach about the soul in school, they would have a good chance of getting arrested. Immediately, the police would come and ask what happened. They said, "Well, he started to talk about the soul." "No, I don't believe it." "Do you have a recording?" "Well, here it is." "All right, you're under arrest." And what to speak of the soul if someone started to talk about the Supreme Soul? That would be a great offense. They would at least be fired. How dare you in a public school, in a public place, talk about God corrupting the minds of the innocent, misleading them into believing there's such a thing as a soul or a supreme soul, deviating them from the goal of life, from becoming a bona fide consumer of material things, giving up the basic belief that we're one nation under the dollar, under God. That even in our books it says, money, money, sweeter than honey. The professional the thief, the professional soldier, the merchant, they'll risk their very dear lives to get money. So modern education, whether it's in school or in the internet or on television or in the magazines, for the most part, it's all to convince us that if you eat nicely, you sleep peacefully, you have a satisfying sex relationships, and you learn how to defend yourself like James Bond, then your life is perfect. You can't ask anything more than that. And that if you become bewildered by bad association, then you'll believe that you'll take seriously that there's a God, and you'll become something like a Hare Krishna. Useless dropout from society, who simply, due to madness, they dance and chant on the streets sometimes because they have nothing better or productive to do. So more or less this is the education. Go to school, get a good job, get some money, and eat and sleep and have a good time. And that's how you enjoy now and in the future, and there's nothing beyond that. So more or less modern education is meant to convince people how to more gain money and enjoy the senses. And because we've been trained up in that way, to try to understand that there's a soul and that there's a supreme soul and that the actual goal of life and the actual purpose of utilizing our present energies is to realize those two things is very difficult. Because we're always afraid that since life is so short, if there's no real soul, if there's no super soul, then I'll be missing my great opportunity to enjoy in the fairyland of America. The never, never land of America. The big Disneyland. That all the rides I could have taken on the Disneyland of America, all the movies that are, where I could have imagined myself to be the hero or the heroine, I'll miss out on all the phantasmagoria of present-day society, and at the end, I'll simply be left with nothing. Therefore, it's difficult, but if we learn how to utilize our intelligence through the process, if we first of all learn that submission is not bad. And, of course, we should learn how to become submissive to the right authority. In our society, none of us claim to be the ultimate authority. The actual authority is Krishna, and Krishna has manifested himself in these words that are in the Bhagavad Gita. So one can examine the Bhagavad Gita with one's intelligence, try to discern whether or not the philosophy makes any sense or not. Then if there's some doubts or some explanation is required, then it's possible to inquire from those who are practicing. Just like, for instance, if you want to learn how to play golf, then people, they don't expect they're going to learn to play golf from the person who knows how to play golf perfectly. If there was such a person where every time he hit the ball, he got a hole in one, then he'd certainly be the greatest authority in golf. But I don't think anyone claims to be the perfect authority in golf. But that doesn't stop anyone from inquiring how to play golf better from those who are more expert than oneself. Isn't that right? They go to professionals. They have television programs. They have magazines all about how to become a better golfer. No one expects to become a perfect golfer. No one expects to find the perfect golfer. But still, people learn from someone better than them. Similarly, for those who are practicing the art of Krishna, if we're interested in spiritual art, spiritual knowledge, then we have to find people who are also interested in spiritual art, spiritual knowledge, spiritual science, and we can find out from them what they've understood and what they're doing and what they've realized and try to follow in their footsteps. Of course, in our society, we have experience, fortunately, of a person who's presenting this particular literature and its explanations, who was situated in transcendence, who had realized the art and philosophy and the science of Krishna consciousness sufficiently that anyone who reads these books that he's presenting, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, will become encouraged or enlivened, enlightened in the science of Krishna consciousness. And there are sufficient members of our society who practice enough under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, either personally or through his books, who realize enough that they're able to answer most of the questions, and whatever question they couldn't answer, if we go through Prabhupada's books, we'll find the answer somewhere. In other words, Srila Prabhupada has created a society which is based upon, although perhaps we're not perfect in the science, but everything is there so that all our questions can be answered, so that gradually, if we practice properly with submission, inquisitiveness, and rendering the service, we will come to the perfect stage of becoming perfectly happy by becoming conscious again of Krishna and of ourselves, who we really are. So this is called disciple succession. The perfect person, Krishna, he's given a perfect philosophy, perfect way of living. It's being perfectly presented in these books. And as much as we try to become perfect ourselves, as much as we take help of those who are also trying to become perfect, and the perfect literature that Srila Prabhupada has left, then we can progress, and all of us, one day, we will become perfect, perfectly Krishna conscious again. So, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Nice comment. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Yeah, they don't expect the person to become perfect before they're going to take any advice from them.
Right. Yeah. People are quite happy to go to somebody who knows a bit more than that.
Yeah.
The whole work. When it comes to spiritual life, everybody's kind of.
Yeah, thank you.
So, okay. First, I just wanted to come and say thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoyed your talk very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know him very well. I'm going to see him probably tomorrow. No, the day after tomorrow. Yeah. He's in Auckland right now. Auckland, New Zealand. I'm going there.